Hey guys, thanks for being with us here at Awake the Iron. I really appreciate the support. You might recall I was on a podcast with Jim Stroud called The Things I Think About. We talked about critical thinking. Well, he reached out to me and asked me to be on his TV show where we discuss Yuri Bezmenov, a KGB defector to Canada in the 1970s. It is video and audio, so if you'd like to see the video, stop by the website, awaketheiron.com. I've posted it for your listening or viewing pleasure. Enjoy.
In 1970, Yuri Bezmenov, a 31-year-old KGB officer specializing in propaganda, defected to Canada. Bezmenov was sickened by the oppressive nature and toll of communist totalitarianism and wanted to devote his life to educating Western nations, America in particular, on what he and the KGB had been doing to us to undermine and ultimately destroy our societies. In 1984, Bezmenov published a small book, Love Letter to America, in which he explained in great detail how the communists running the USSR were working to destroy America, not using physical weapons, but through what he described as cultural subversion. Due to a multitude of memes and short clips on social networks, Bezmenov has become more famous than ever. I discuss his cultural significance with my guest, Kason Pratt.
And here we are. Kason, how are you, sir?
Good, man. Good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I appreciate that. I was just telling the audience that I've been really looking at Yuri Bezmenov. I think I'm saying his name right. Yuri Yuri.
my Russian's a little yeah. Rusty. So.
Okay. I'll just stick with Yuri.
Yeah, that's fine.
And in my research, I was saying how I came across your website, and I said, oh, I know Kason. So I wanted to have you on the show because I know you've done a lot of research on you're a big fanboy of him, for good reason, I think. Tell me a little bit about how you discovered him and the type of research you've done around what he talks about.
Yeah, so I don't know the exact point in time, but maybe it's about 10 years ago or so, just looking into all kinds of things like, holy cow, I feel like we've been lied to about this or that, just these little things. And then I got to go figure stuff out on my own and just stumbled across him somehow. I don't remember exactly how, but I watched and read just about everything I could get my hands on and my eyes on from or about Yuri. And it was like a lot of his stuff. It was mid 80s, right? And he did this big presentation in like 1984. And it was like, so I'm looking at this, 10 years ago or whatever. So it's like, 2012 or whatever. And I'm like, man, everything this guy says that he says, if America doesn't, change from their current path, everything he's saying will happen, literally is happening or has already happened. And so it is kind of neat sometimes to see those older things, stuff from the 50s, 60s, 70s, whatever. This is 80s, it was almost prophetic. And it wasn't that he was a prophet. It's just, he understood everything about how to subvert a nation from within without firing any bullets. And that he was a KGB agent. And that's what he did. Deception was his job. And I'm like, man, this guy is just spot on. But it was alarming because everything he said would happen to a nation that allows itself to be subverted from within, it was happening to my country.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's how it went.
Now, because he's Russian, do you think that everything he was saying proves that Russia has been America's enemy from the Cold War on and it never stopped. And all these things happening are all coming from Russia, or is it coming from other places? What do you think?
I actually wondered the same thing. And then I even went through a period where I'm like, maybe he's a plant. Right? Maybe he's a double agent. So he's, you know, pretending to be a defector. I don't know. That sounds like a reasonable possibility, but it doesn't matter because everything he said that takes place, if you do ABCD, was taking place. So everything he said was true in reality, right? And then also, I don't know if Russia, are they our enemy? It seems like it sometimes, but really what it is it's whoever's in control, you know, is against whoever's in control. So, for example, Putin, he doesn't know me. I'm not his enemy. He's not my enemy. But if he's in control, then he might be the enemy of who's in control here, right? Our leaders. And it's almost like we got the civilians, the population gets kind of caught in the middle. So I don't know. But it seems like, not seems like, I think it's obvious that if what Yuri is saying is true, and it seemed like it is because it reflected in reality, then we should be aware of it. And if there's a way to fix it or avoid the crisis that he says is coming actually has come, then we should do it.
Give me an example, if you would, of something that Yuri said or alluded to back in the 80s that you see so crystal clear now as, yep, he saw it coming.
Yeah. Well, man, that's a long list. That's a long list. But basically, he talks about the big one is the ideological subversion. He talks about how, you know, so he's like a spy, right? But it's not the James Bond style of spy. And he says that there's, you know, most of the espionage is not like James Bond. It's done out in plain sight, and it's not even illegal. So he talks about, agents would come here or whatever, and they would integrate into society, and then they would start putting out ideas and getting it. It's like priming everyone, right? And slowly, and he talks about how it takes a whole generation, 20 years for the first stage, and then, a couple years for the second stage or whatever. And then,
I think you're talking about the four stages of subversion. I think is how he described it. Actually, I have a clip on that. And he described the four stages of subversion. Let me play that for you and get your reaction.
Money and manpower is spent on espionage as such. The other 85% is a slow process, which we call either ideological subversion or active measures, активные мероприятия in the language of the KGB, or psychological warfare. What it basically means is to change the perception of reality of every American to such an extent that despite of the abundance of information, no one is able to come to sensible conclusions in the interests of defending themselves, their families, their community, and their country. It's a great brainwashing process which goes very slow, and it's divided in four basic stages. The first one being demoralization. It takes from 15 to 20 years to demoralize a nation. Why that many years? Because this is the minimum number of years which requires to educate one generation of students in the country of your enemy, exposed to the ideology of the enemy. In other words, Marxism-Leninism ideology is being pumped into the soft heads of at least three generations of American students without being challenged or counterbalanced by the basic values of Americanism, American patriotism. The demoralization process in the United States is basically completed already. For the last 25 years, actually it's overfulfilled, because demoralization now reaches such areas where previously not even Comrade Andropov and all his experts would even dream of such a tremendous success. Most of it is done by Americans to Americans, thanks to lack of moral standards. As I mentioned before, exposure to true information does not matter anymore. A person who was demoralized is unable to assess true information. The facts tell nothing to him. Even if I shower him with information, with authentic proof, with documents, with pictures, even if I take him by force to the Soviet Union and show him concentration camp, he will refuse to believe it until he is going to receive a kick in his fat bottom. When a military boot crashes his, then he will understand, but not before that. That's the tragic of the situation of demoralization. So the next stage is destabilization. This time, subverter does not care about your ideas and the patterns of your consumption. Whether you eat junk food and get fat and flabby, doesn't matter anymore. This time, and it takes only from 2 to 5 years to destabilize a nation, what matters is essentials: economy, foreign relations, defense systems. And you can see it quite clearly that in some areas, in such sensitive areas as defense and economy, the influence of Marxist-Leninist ideas in the United States is absolutely fantastic. I could never believe it 14 years ago when I landed in this part of the world, that the process will go that fast. The next stage, of course, is crisis. It may take only up to 6 weeks to bring a country to the verge of crisis. You can see it in Central America now. And after crisis, with a violent change of power, structure, and economy, you have so-called the period of normalization. It may last indefinitely. Normalization is a cynical expression borrowed from Soviet propaganda. When the Soviet tanks moved into Czechoslovakia in 68, Comrade Brezhnev said, "Now the situation in brotherly Czechoslovakia is normalized." This is what will happen in the United States if you allow all these schmucks to bring the country to crisis, to promise people all kind of goodies and the paradise on earth, to destabilize your economy, to eliminate the principle of free market competition, and to put a big brother government in Washington, D.C., with benevolent dictators like Walter Mondale, who will promise lots of things, never mind whether the promises are fulfillable or not. Your leftists in the United States, all these professors and all these beautiful civil rights defenders, they are instrumental in the process of the subversion, only to destabilize the nation. When their job is completed, they are not needed anymore. They know too much. Some of them, when they get disillusioned, when they see that Marxist-Lenin has come to power, obviously they get offended. They think that they will come to power. That will never happen, of course. They will be lined up against the wall and shot. But they may turn into the most bitter enemies of Marxist-Leninists when they come to power. And that's what happened in Nicaragua. You remember, it's divided in four basic stages: demoralization, destabilization, crisis, normalization.
Wow, that's that's crazy. That is, when I was listening to him, I talked about, when he talked about demoralization, mm-hmm. and how you can present facts to people, hard facts and logic, and they will not believe it. You could take them to the concentration camps in Russia, and people still would not believe it until they themselves were caught up in the trap. Mm-hmm. I'll paraphrase what he said. I thought that was so interesting. Mm-hmm. What was your takeaway from that?
Man, if this right here doesn't scare the crap out of all Americans, I don't know what will. Mm. Because, I mean, he started off by saying that demoralization in the United States is complete. This is 1984, man.
Yep.
So, okay, if you're KGB, you're like, all right, first item check mark done. And now we got to destabilize. Well, since 1984, can you think of anything that happened that might feel like it's destabilizing our country? Lots of stuff, right?
I did. And politics immediately comes to mind.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And then there's a real, the whole part about, like you said, like you can actually take, you can show proof. It won't matter. You can physically take someone to the concentration camps. And when he's talking about that, he was before that, he talked about how this, I'm so glad you had this clip. This is one of mine I have earmarked as well. But he talks about how American journalists for a magazine or whatever came and they were going to do a story about how Russia, you know, the Soviet Union, it's not so bad. And of course, KBG was in charge of, hosting them. And hey, you know, they took them around, showed them all kinds of cool stuff and took them to these nice kindergartens and all this stuff. And then they wrote their story and sent them away. Well, that magazine was never published in Russia, and they control all the media and everything you read anyway. So no, none of the Russians ever saw it. And all of the American journalists, he goes on to explain how they thought they were getting this all neat scoop, but really they went back and wrote this story based on everything that the KGB wanted them to say, to portray to us. And then those journalists now, because they're the only ones that got to go, right, they're the experts that tell us and say, oh, well, you haven't been to the Soviet Union. I have. I did a whole story about it. I'm the journalist. I'm the expert. Well, guess what? And Yuri laughs about it. And he's like, these experts, they know nothing. They know exactly what we wanted them to know. And it is amazing. And it's like a shockwave to me, because how much are we told that you have to, you know, bow to the experts, and the experts are never wrong and blah, blah, blah. Well, that goes out the window there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think another example too along those lines. I'm thinking of Jane Fonda, who infamously took pictures with the Viet Cong and said they're not so bad, they're nice guys, and she got branded Hanoi Jane, I think was one of her names. It stuck on her, I think, to this day with a lot of people still. And so yeah, that's another example of propaganda at work. I also thought it was very interesting when he said that the people, the leftists, he singled them out particularly. Mm-hmm. He said the leftists think that when the people come to power under the system, that they too will rise to power along with them. And he was like, no, they're just useful idiots. They're going to be killed as soon as world order takes place.
Yeah, they serve their purpose and then are discarded because you don't want extra people hanging around that, you know some things, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that should be a wake-up call to a lot of people as well. People who think, you know, they're on the right side of history, an expression I always hear a lot about. Really interesting. And I also like what he said about the media. Now, that brings up another clip that I want to get your reaction to, where Yuri is discussing how the media is really propagandist. And the video that I'm going to show you not only shows examples of the media being propagandist, but it also shows you, I think, it explains how the media, it basically teaches you, shows you how the media has been propagandist. That's what I'm trying to say. So watch this clip. We'll get your reaction to it.
Bodies of people, groups of people whom nobody elected. Never. As a matter of fact, most of the people don't like them at all, and yet they exist. One of such group is media. Who elected them?
Today, ownership of the news media has been concentrated in the hands of just six incredibly powerful media corporations. The six corporations that collectively control U.S. media today are Time Warner, Walt Disney, Viacom, Rupert Murdoch's News Corp, CBS Corporation, and NBC Universal. Together, the Big Six absolutely dominate news and entertainment in the United States.
How come they have so much power? Almost monopolistic power on your mind. They can rape your mind. But who elected them? How come they have a nerve to decide what is good and what is bad for the elected by you, president, and his administration?
Being symbol of an utter human catastrophe that we can't close our eyes to. It is the image of a lifeless child in the arms of a rescuer on a Turkish beach.
Libya was an established government, whether we like them or not, just as North Korea and Iran are established governments, whether we like them or not, or the Sudan government. And what's happening against them is a war of aggression, with the media serving one side to portray the idea that Gaddafi is a terrorist and all these people have been killed and freedom fighters are involved.
Spiro Agnew, who was hated by the liberal left, called them a bunch of enfeebled snobs, and that's exactly what they are. They think they know, they don't.
You can see from the past 10 years or so a steady decline in the percentage of Americans that trust in the mainstream media, and now it's down to around 40%. So 60%, 6 out of 10 Americans do not believe the mainstream media.
The level of mediocrity in a big establishment like New York Times, Los Angeles Times, major television network, you don't have to be excellent journalist. You have to be exactly a mediocre journalist. That's easier to survive. There's no competition anymore.
That the mainstream media has been the referee for decades, yeah. But they've done such a terrible job because they've been a referee in just feeding us what the regime wants us to get.
And right now, thousands of Americans are marching in New York and Washington and across the country, demanding a justice system that applies the same to everybody and honors our values. And you, we want you to know that our hearts are out there marching with them.
It's only the appearance of fighting because they all agree on the basic things. And that's true in the media, whether you watch O'Reilly or Rachel Maddow, when it comes to issues of war, of the Federal Reserve, of real fundamental issues, they're in absolute agreement. There's just some sprinkling of different flavors depending on if you're R or D.
Power structure slowly is eroded by the bodies and groups of people who do not have neither qualification nor the will of people to keep them in power, and yet they do have power.
These corporate behemoths control most of what we watch, hear, and read every single day. They own television networks, cable channels, movie studios, newspapers, magazines, publishing houses, music labels, and even many of our favorite websites.
They're necessary. They have to be the referees to make sure that we get the right propaganda, as far as I'm concerned, because I think they're puppets for the government.
Who the hell are they?
That clip was, wow. What are your thoughts?
I think it's kind of obvious now. That's why it's great to have shows like yours where people can, how many times you watch an actual mainstream news thing and at the end they go, but you know, do your own research too. No, we say that all the time on my show. Like, this is what we're talking about. Don't just believe me.
Yep. I say it all the time too.
Yeah. Do not just believe me. Just look for yourself. I could be wrong. But I'm not a liar, right? I could make a mistake, but I'm not a liar. And you know, if you know anyone who's like a reporter or a journalist, ask them if they're allowed to do any kind of investigative reporting that they want, and they're allowed to bring to the table anything that they found of interest. I don't think so. I think it has to all get approved. And you're sent on assignment, right? We are shown what they want us to see. I believe that 100% to be true. It's taken me years to come to that realization, but I think it, you know, they were showing on the, like, the bottom ticker of one of those clips where the guy was talking to Ron Paul or something. It said 60% of Americans don't trust the media. I think that's good. I mean, it sucks, but I think it's a good thing because it encourages people to, you know, I gotta go check this out. I gotta go figure this out. I'm not just gonna swallow whatever is pushed in front of me.
The Jim Strauss Show will return after these messages. This episode of The Jim Strauss Show brought to you by Conservative Television of America, working hard to stick socialism where the sun don't shine. Conservative Television of America is now available on Fire TV Stick, Roku, and on the Conservative Television of America website. Tune in now at www.ctva.tv. Conservative Television of America. We say what you're thinking. The Jim Strauss Show is back. Thanks for watching.
I mean, the real key is I can turn it off, right? And that's you know, try going a week and not watch any news. You'll feel like a new person after. And I mean, you know, you're researching and you need to look at things because you're talking about things, and that's fine. But yeah, take a vacation from the news and you'll feel better. You'll be more positive. You know, you're like, oh, maybe there isn't 1,000 things to be afraid of that I'm told to be afraid of. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Of course, the Uri clips were from the 80s, but the modern day news clips were from, I think, the first year of Trump's administration, based on some of those clips there that I saw. So not too much has changed since then. I mean, it's still basically six corporations controlling pretty much the mainstream media, what we see. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was really glaring to know that only six companies control pretty much most of what you see. And then it also made me think about how many people in the mainstream media, especially in the news part of the mainstream media, they look down at Fox News, mm-hmm. right? And Fox isn't perfect. They have their issues too, but a lot of the mainstream media outside of Fox, they look down on Fox because of all the major of the big six, they're the one who really push up against the propaganda of the other five major media companies, which is mm-hmm. really interesting when you think about that.
Yeah, I think that a thinking person should look at that, how six companies is all the media. That is a problem in my view, serious problem. And then, are they really competitors? You know, are they buddy buddy? Do they? I don't know. There was a clip going around where it showed all different media clips. They all were saying the exact same words.
I know what you mean.
You know which one I'm talking about? It shows like 100 different boxes on the screen. And I'm like, okay, that maybe, and people say, well, that doesn't prove anything. No, but come on, man. I mean, you got to look at that and go, boy, that is just that's got to be the weirdest coincidence of all time.
I mean, hard to get 10 people to agree on what's for dinner.
Right. Yeah. If you and I both witnessed a car crash or something, and then they took both of our statements would vary a little bit, maybe quite a bit. We're both telling the truth. It's our account, right? But sometimes it's like exactly word for word the same, and it's like, oh man, I don't know this, you know. And now I've been looking into this stuff for a long time, so you start seeing patterns and picking up on things, and you start understanding the game a little bit, and then things are very obvious. But for someone who maybe has never thought, you know, that they're like, oh, it's just a conspiracy theory, blah blah blah, and I'm like, well, yeah, and you know, they don't even know what that term means, right? I love conspiracies, but I'm not really interested in theories. So I just, like a detective, will come to the scene and we'll just start analyzing evidence to piece together what happened. That's how I try to look at things. Not, I'm going to just come up with, oh, this is probably what occurred. And then, oh, well, that little piece of evidence there, yeah, that looks like that could go along with my idea. No, that's backwards. You look at the evidence first, and we just have to be honest with ourselves. You know, this stuff is going on. This is real.
Yeah. And when you look at the clips from Uri from back in the 80s and you see the things he's pointing out are still coming true, I'm sure people are calling him a conspiracy theorist. Back in the day as well. Yeah. But it's, you know, unfortunately, he was pretty spot on in a lot of things. I thought it was also interesting, too, about when they were showing how journalists are activists as opposed to being journalists. Now, I know that there are some journalists who are, well, some personalities are purely opinion. I mean, they say their opinion, right? But then when you have supposedly hard news shows not giving you the news where they just report it to you and you decide for yourself, they're telling you what to think. You know, they're interweaving opinion. And once they interweave opinion into what's supposed to be a news show, that's where it becomes propaganda, I think. What do you think?
Well, absolutely. And what immediately comes to mind for me is whenever there's a big shooting, you'll hear little terms over and over and over and over, just like you become numb with it. And you know, like they would, if you counted how many times someone said assault rifle or something like that, it was just like, okay. And then people might argue and say, well, you know, that if that's part of the story, then they're telling the story. It's like, dude, it's beyond that. It's pushing something, and it's a lot of power. If you've already established that most people are going to sit and turn the TV on and watch the TV, right? That you have a captive audience. It's like being on a stage and the whole theater's dark and you got a spotlight on you. That's a lot of power. And you can say anything you want. And a lot of times people don't look beyond the headlines. They just read a headline and then say, whoop. And I'm sure you've come across this. 9 times out of 10, the story doesn't even really line up with the headline. Not completely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. A lot of examples of that. Like, for example, when there's a shooting that's going on and it doesn't match what the left wants you to see. Let's say, for example, an African-American guy shoots up a mall, right? Just say that happened. They would not say that a black man shot up the mall. They would say a gun shot up the place. The same way when this guy ran his van through a Christmas Day parade.
Mm-hmm.
I remember CNN reported that this van got away and injured and killed people. And it's like, no, the van didn't do it by itself. Somebody was driving it purposely.
Right.
And like demolished those crowd of people there. Mm-hmm. But they wouldn't say that a guy did it because I think his nationality or something. They did not want to say that he was a terrorist in any kind of way. But it's hard to see it as something else. He did a terroristic act by mowing down these people with his van.
Right.
But they wouldn't call it a terroristic act because of his nationality. They just kept saying the van did it, the van did it, the van did it.
It didn't fit. What happened didn't fit what they needed you to think. So we'll just leave this out or change that or whatever. Yeah, absolutely. It happens all the time.
Yeah. I want to show you one more clip because this one really, really interested me in this in the era of Black Lives Matter. When he talks about equality or the illusion of equality. Let me play this clip for you and get your reaction to it.
Working for Novosti Press, we would snow plow editorial offices, student organizations, religious groups with literature of class struggle, if not directly Marxism-Leninism propaganda, then a propaganda of the legitimate aspirations of working class, betterment of life, equality, equality. Mind you, President Kennedy once said, "People, we will make America to believe that people are born equal." Are people born equal? Is there any mentioning in the Bible or any other holy scripture in any religion? Any religion, if you don't believe me, go to the library and check it. There is not a single word about equality. Just the opposite. By your deeds, God will judge you. What you do is important. The merit of your personality. You cannot legislate equality. If you want to be equal, you have to be equal. You have to deserve it. And yet we build our society on the principle of equality. We say people are equal. We know it is false. It's a lie. Some people are tall and stupid. Others are short, bold, and clever. If we make them... If we make them equal by force, if we put the principle of equality in the basis of our socio-political structure, it's the same thing as building a house on sand. Sooner or later, it will collapse, and that's exactly what happens. And we, as Soviet propaganda makers, are trying to push you in the direction which you go yourself. Equality, yes, equality. People are equal. Land of equal opportunities. Is it true or not? Think about it. Equal opportunities. Should there be equal opportunities? For me and for a lazy bastard who comes here from some other country and immediately registers as a welfare recipient benefits? I never received a single I did receive once, but I never applied for welfare. For the 13 years, I took any job, security guard, journalist, taxi driver, anything. Well, I was restless, but some people don't like it. They immediately, so why should we be, why should we have equal opportunities? Why?
The equal opportunity to excel.
Equal opportunity in equal circumstances, yes, but we know people are different. To excel, yes, provided we reach the same level of excellency, perfection, which is hypothetical distant future. Yes, maybe, but we know perfectly well that even with the best intentions, people could not be equal. Why should we have equality in the legal system? Myself, I'm considering myself a law-abiding citizen, and a person who comes here to rob and shoot, say, the United States administration under Carter, imported thousands of Cuban criminals. They were non-criminals, yet they were accepted. Do you think it's fair if myself and my wife from Philippines, who work like a as a lab technician in the hospital, should have the same rights as a criminal from Cuba? Why? And yet we repeat as parrots, equality, equality, equality. And the Soviet propaganda system helps us to believe that equality is something which is desirable. Democracy, as it was established by fathers of this country, of this system, in the last century, is not equality. It's the system where different people, unequal people, have a chance to survive and help each other in constant competition, in constant perfection. Not inequality, which is superimposed from a godfather or a nice person in Washington, D.C. And the absolute equality exists in Soviet Union, quote-unquote equality. Everybody is equal in dirt, except some people are more equal than the others in Politburo.
I know he was a comedian.
Who would have thought? Yeah, KGB has a sense of humor, huh?
Yeah. I like what he said, and I'm going to paraphrase a little bit. People deserve a chance to be successful, but everyone can't be guaranteed the same level of success. That's my paraphrasing, I think, of what he said. What did you take from what he said?
Yeah, absolutely. Not everybody gets a trophy, right? The person who, right. I mean, that's basically now, you know, another thing, if the KGB is using the parroting of equality as a subversive weapon against us, then we should realize that it's bad for no other reason than just that. Right. Mm-hmm. And he actually, later on in the interview with G. Edward Griffin talking about equality, he says that the media was doing this story about South African, blacks in South African were, their movement was being restricted, like their passports were stamped so they couldn't leave or something to that, something to that, like that. And then he talked about how he showed his passport, and his passport has a certain stamp, and he had to live in a certain area in the Soviet Union. And he was like, so the same exact thing is happening to me, that's happening to them, but nobody wanted to report on his situation because he was white. So he's literally the same exact thing going on. And I'm not saying one is worse than the other, and it's the same, but that it didn't fit the equality narrative of the moment that was being used to destabilize or demoralize whichever one of the points their operation was in, right?
Right. All very good points. I did not mention in our time together here yet, I'm going to give you an opportunity to discuss Awake the Iron. Let people know what that is, because it's been in the background all this time. I should have said something about it from the beginning, but I didn't.
Yeah. Oh, that's all right. Oh, is this a little too subtle? Okay. Yeah. No, that's just my podcast. We started it last year, and there was just too much deception. And this has been years, going on for years that I've been looking into this stuff and just needed an outlet for it. Like I was learning so many things I would maybe talk to, my family about it. But it was bottling up inside me, and I thought there's a lot of really good information. Nothing that I necessarily come up with, things that I discovered is all. I'm like, I just want to share this with people. And it doesn't really work when you're like at a party, you're like, hey, did you know the media is trying to control us? Ha ha ha. You know, that doesn't really work. So it was just timing. And, 2020 was crazy. I was overwhelmed with the amount of deception and all kinds of stuff that go against the way you think, and subversion. Even if you're not wasn't overtly aware necessarily, it was going on. And so we just started the podcast and got a new feature on there called the Academy. It's just basically a huge archive of articles, interviews, videos. And there's different categories. My initial idea was like, we'll call it like a university, and you can pick your category and just educate yourself on, silver and gold or health stuff or whatever. But so, if you're watching this, and you can I'm backwards here, but you got a QR code. You can snap that with your phone, take you right to the website. And I've been trying to do lots of videos as well. So it's an audio podcast, but I have a lot of videos there too. So
Great.
I appreciate it.
Great. Well, I encourage everybody to go check you out. Kason, thanks for your time. I do appreciate it.
Hey, thanks a lot. It's been a blast. I'd love to talk to you anytime.
Well, my time is up. I thank you for yours. I'll see you again real soon right here with a brand new episode. So until next time, I love you, America.